a message on that theme. But before I do, I always like to bring a little bit of news. All news is bad, but to show you the extremity of news, I thought this was very interesting here. I don't know if you've ever seen this here. This is Nike files trademark infringement against designer of Linux X shoes. You heard about this at all? It's an abomination. And Nike is suing this company, MSCHF, for trademark infringements on the Satan shoes. These they bought Nike shoes, and what they did is they put, believe it or not, a drop of blood on it. They put a scripture on there. I think it's Luke 10:18. It says, an article, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Obviously, it's not King James. It's AS. There's some doctrine there, but not going to cover it today. And this is hard to believe. Well, how many are they selling? 666 pairs for $1,050 a piece. Guess how long they took to sell out? Anyone have an idea?
Hours.
A minute. Now, here's the thing is, what network do they have that can put some out like this? People spend over $1,000 in shoes. How about that, folks? See, there's a network out. I mean, I think 1 minute gone. Who'll pay $1,050 for shoes? Something right about that. Think of it. Everyone has networks. You have your social medias, maybe, or your Christian. You know, they had enough where they put it out. People just need to think twice. $1,047 that they put for that there, and obviously Nike don't like it, and just an abomination. I'm showing you now the real kind of thing behind it. They're promoting a song called "Call Me by Your Name," and that name they're promoting, that song, is Satan. And no one's young here, but don't not watch this. I kind of watched a trail of it. It's so putrefied, disgusting of a song, it'll mess you up. Seriously, it's that bad. It's that stinking bad, it'll mess you up. So you got to be real careful. I mean, this is a song they have out there, a video song. It's disgusting beyond everything you possibly imagine. So I'll miss more. Don't even look at it. It's just terrible. That's what's going on today. And people just went, though, it's kind of like anything else. It's so bad. You know, years ago, people say something, but it's like the frog they put in water. It was cool water, and it slowly turned on. I was saying burns. This is so putrid that we're almost immune to it. And a lot of believers won't say too much. I'm glad Nike's suing them, you know, for the wrong reason, but, you know, very, very heinous. Show you what's going on today. Okay, so here's what I have for today. Hope you learned something from here. Title of my little lesson here is called "What Happened to Jesus' Body, Soul, and Spirit When He Died." And there's some good doctrine in here and good teaching behind here. So a little time I have, let's go through this because we're here on, you know, Resurrection Sunday, they'd say. There's a lot of good teaching here. And I want to look at, first of all, this verse in Ephesians 4, chapter 8 to 10 says, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high," context is the Lord Jesus Christ, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Question mark. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Now, what's interesting is that what is the gospel? The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And if you look at what the definition of the gospel is, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also we have received, and wherein we stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I declare unto you first of all that which we also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to scriptures." So there you go. It's mentioned in the gospel, the burial and resurrection, part of the gospel, right? Well, what happened during though that time that Jesus died, burying him up. So there's a lot of scripture on that. And I think by understanding that, you see what the Lord accomplished in those 3 days, not only gives great encouragement to the believer, but there's a lot of doctrine in here. And I'll show you why a lot of Christian groups don't like this teaching, because it doesn't fly in the name of biblical Christianity. I'll cover that a little near the end, okay? So why is it including the gospel? That's a good question. It says here, first of all, that after Christ's death, his body was placed in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. So the Lord has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Remember, we were originally created in the image of God. You know, God breathed, God formed man dust of the ground. He breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you got your body, like the ground will return to. You've got the breath of life, that's the spirit, and then he made you a soul. Christ made people a soul. What God brings life to can never die. The soul can never die. Get that? Obviously, what happened when Adam sinned, he lost his image some way, and now we're, according to Genesis chapter 5, we're born in Adam's image, right? You know, the first Adam, that's restored on the second Adam, but there's that type there. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. So what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? His body, it says in Matthew 27, verse 58, 60, he went to Pilate, this is Joseph Arimathea, and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. So there we know that the body of Jesus Christ was laid in a physical tomb. Now, I've been to Israel. My wife went there, and I believe they found the original tomb there. I mean, everything looks good there, and you can actually see where he was. See, get it? Where he was? Wait, now he's risen. Amen. But so, no doubt about it, there is a picture of his body, and the spirit went back to his father in Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having thus said that, he gave up the ghost. So here you have two parts. The physical body went into the grave. The spirit returned back to God. We have the soul left. It's like us. If you're saved here today, our body, if we're not raptured, his body is getting worse and worse. Can't hear that well. Hairs are falling out. It's growing where I don't want to grow and living where I need to live. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you get old, you know. 60, it's downhill, you know. So the body's wearing out, but our spirit will turn to God, and our soul, the real of us, if you're saved, going to glory. So amen to that. So we have body, soul, and spirit. Okay, so what happened here is, but the soul made a deeper subterranean trip to hell. I quoted that here in the verse of Ephesians. So let's look what happened here and what was accomplished here. This is very, very important. In Matthew 12:40, it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." This was quoted to the Pharisees who were, what are they looking for? Looking for a sign. He gave a bunch of signs. He's raising people from the dead. I mean, you know what though? Shows you how hard-headed you are. He's doing all these things, and they're still looking for a sign. And a Jew needs a sign. So he's giving him all these signs, all these miracles. But what he did, he showed these Pharisees' doctrine, our teaching. Hey, you should know about Jonah. There's a sign for you right there. See that there, you know? So you know, a wicked generation looking for a sign. It's like that, you know, a lot of, you know, our fellow believers that are charismatic and Pentecostal, they're always looking for signs and feelings and all that, you know. They're living by faith. They're kind of you know, looking for signs and all that stuff, you know, and you stick with the book and look for faith. So here we have in Matthew 12:40, the Lord is showing people what that sign is. So the sign of Jonas was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's why Jonah literally died in the belly of the whale, and literally represented and spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. So Jonah's body was in the belly of the fish, but Jonah went down into hell. Now, I'll cover later a couple parts in hell. Jonah 2:6, Jonah saw the mountains down there and the bars of hell and all that. Obviously, he ain't looking through the fish's eyeball like a submarine, you know, and seeing all that stuff. Obviously, his soul, there's a type there where his body there died and his spirit went down into hell and he saw all that stuff down there. Obviously, God, and people in the scripture saw that there's that resurrection. The resurrection was a key part of the Old Testament. People knew of the resurrection. Remember when Jesus returned after Lazarus died, and he goes, well, he'll come part of the resurrection. They knew about that. So they knew about Jonah. So there's a type of Jesus Christ, of him body going to the grave and him going doing something there in hell. Now, we'll find out what he did here in a minute here, but that's very important you understand that. A lot of groups don't believe that Jonah died. Now, I'll show you why at the end, why important to understand and tie it together, because there's some good doctrine here. Oh, he was alive the whole day there, down there and lived. I don't believe that. It's very important because that means then you're saying that Jesus Christ never died. Some people believe that, you know. Some groups don't believe Jesus actually died. He fell asleep and took his body. You understand all that? They hate that death, burial, and resurrection. They hate that. That separates biblical Christianity from all the other stuff out there. So they're all, you know, some groups don't like that Jonah. And a lot of times what happens, when we had a Bible study in Jonah, my old church, and they just skip these verses they don't like. You ever notice that? I mean, if you don't know, I don't understand them. But they just skip over them because it doesn't fit into their theology. Notice that. They skipping over the verses don't fit into their square hole when they're talking about a round thing. It's the strangest thing in the world. You know, you smile at them, you try to help them out, but, you know, what can you say? So here we go. That is what Christ likened himself to Jonah, okay? So what we have here is this picture here now. In Acts 2:27, it says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. This is right in the beginning of Acts when they're talking about Jesus Christ. Neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Obviously, the body was corrupt, would have corrupted if it was not resurrected, but the soul went down into hell. A lot of people will change that hell to Hades. That's why it's important to understand to have a King James Bible, understand those doctrines, because they subtly change these words, changing doctrine. You got, I mean, you'd be saying, you know what though? These are believers, you know? There was a literal hell. They all, in the Greek, you need all this here, and you know, that's not true, because there's some good doctrine here, and I'll show you how important understanding some of this is. Okay. So here we have the soul making this trip. What happened during this trip? After dumping our sins there, now in hell, let me cover Romans 6, 9 to 10. Obviously, we have the Lord Jesus Christ who took sin on him. Look at Romans 6, 9 to 10. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him, for in that he died. He died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. So here, the Lord took, as you know, took on our sin on him, and he died for the sin of the whole world. That's sense against, you know, Calvary's or Calvinist belief, you know, for everybody. Well, that sin was on him. He had to dump that sin somewhere. Well, what happened here? In 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unrighteous, by whom stripes we are healed. So here, clearly, part of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ took on our sin right here, died, and Harry now goes down into hell. And let's look what happened here. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. You see that? His soul was an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So the Lord took on the sins on his soul. I believe he dumped them out in there in hell. And what's interesting about this verse here, you know, that little comma, I believe, separates second coming. So a lot of times you have the first coming and the second coming just separated by a comma. You got, here's what the Lord did the first time, and here he's coming back here. Remember, the Old Testament was written pretty much to Jews. So kind of the church was kind of a mystery, right? You know, rightly dividing that, you know? So he's dealing with Israel. Hey, I'm gonna take on this sin, bear it for you, and here's victory. But, you know, I like looking at Charles Larkin's dispositional book there. He has a prophet looking at standing here, and he knew the prophet was going to come, and he sees the millennial reign, but in the valley is the church age. It was kind of a mystery. It was a mystery, but revealed in New Testament. It's a kind of a nice little picture, sometimes a picture worth a thousand words. I think if you look at Larkin's work, he was, I think, a mechanical engineer, maybe, whatever it was. You know, he drew a lot of things back then. They have CAD, computer design, like today. So he drew a lot of things, and a lot of times a picture is worth a thousand words. You look at Dr. Ruckman drawing his pictures, sometimes the word picture is kind of nice. It's nice having a picture. You know, he takes some photographs, you see someone smile on their face, their countenance tells you a lot. Yeah, that's why I like, you know, looking at people's face. You know, they have that mask on now today. You know, you can't see people's face. Yeah, I mean, you're covered. I mean, you know, you don't know whether they're smiling, laughing, thinking your tongue out. Yeah, what are they doing, right? You know? And think about that. What that is, that's a shameful thing they're doing. You know? Jesus Christ was made a shame, right? A shame. And they killed them. Get it? Now we have the mask and you get that. What is that? You know, I mean, it's that in type. See that there, you know? I mean, you gotta be a little careful what they're doing there. You're kind of conditioning folks, you know? And a lot of believers just kind of go right along with that, you know? You gotta pick your battles a little wisely. I'm gonna get off on that, but you see kind of what's happening, how everything is relevant today and on what's going on. Okay, so here we have Isaiah 53. We've got the Lord going down here and dumping our sins down here in hell. There he preached deliverance to the Old Testament saints in paradise. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:6. 1 Peter 4:6. It says, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh and live according to the spirit. So obviously the Lord goes to what happened is in Luke 16 is a very, very important part of scripture, because here we have the Lord telling you what happens down in a place called paradise, which is Abraham's bosom, and hell, where the different departments are. It's real critical. That's why people call that a parable. Notice that. They call that Luke 16 a parable. And I think it's warned you in Old Testament, be careful when they call parable a hell. It warns you about that stuff. And so that's not a parable. That's a literal description that Jesus gave of what happened. And there's a lot of doctrine there. Here you have, because in the Old Testament, what happened was when you died and you had only righteousness of animals, since I got there, you were put in Abraham's side. But the lost people were put into, obviously, where there's a place of torment, where the rich man was. And you can clearly see he saw Abraham with his eyes. He wanted some water. First thing he wanted was to taste some water, right? Because he's really concerned about what? Himself, first again. See, none changes. Me, myself, and I. And then after he realized he wasn't going to get that, then he goes, hey, I got five brethren that aren't coming to this place. Go send, Lazarus here that he may go raise him from the grave and they may repent. Notice how the religious people use that word, repental word. Notice the kind of interesting, They may repent and not come to this place of torment. So obviously they could see each other. Now think about that for a second. Here you have, it's like, offense and defense, two teams. They're looking over here, looking over there. You're on the right side here, right? Abraham's side, And here you are, comforted. It says comforted, right? But over there, they can't get a drop of water. Think of that contrast. That's kind of like it will be, think about this, in Isaiah 66. Look at that if you have a chance. I won't give them a message if I... But in Isaiah 66, talking about the millennial reign, it says from one new moon to another, we'll go worship and look at the souls that sin, where the worm died not, right? We're literally going to look at hell right there in millennial reign. It'll be right there, and you'll see all those people where the worm died not. See that there, hey, folks, look where you came from, believers, and that'll be a great motivator factor for people on earth right here in millennial reign. Look at that, man. Hell is right there, folks. Right there on earth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Five times that verse is mentioned by Jesus Christ, the most quoted verse by Jesus Christ. It wasn't, God loves you and peace on earth. It was, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He wants to warn you about that place. That's why it's important that you understand that thing. Real judgment, right on the spot. Think about that, folks. Ain't like you do something and you go to jail for the rest of your life and you have two TVs and workouts and all that stuff. They have this thing where some guy came by on the highway and road rage, and he shot at this car and he killed a lady that had six kids. Her husband was in the car. They're out celebrating their anniversary. I don't know if you saved or lost, but a guy, shot him. And they caught him. No remorse. A huge history of just, in jail, gun, attempted murder, all this stuff. Here's a man lost his wife and got five kids. Hey, you know what? This is my personal opinion. They ought to get the five kids and the husband, and tie the guy up in a room, give him a baseball bat, ball peen hammer, a blowtorch. I'm serious, man, And hey, you get a half hour, folks. This is recorded good. We're going to record it. And give him a half an hour. And then, after done, put a movie camera on, hit a flush button, flush him down the sewer. I'm serious. They wouldn't do that. They would not do that. That's kind of, the Lord, try something in millennial reign, the Lord Jesus Christ running. That's going to be something. Real justice. I'm getting off. But you know what, though? That's where we're headed. It gets worse and worse here. You shake your head, and you're like, I thought, just hang on. The Lord just, remember, he came first time, come second time, and a bumper sticker says, is he mad? You know what, though? So you kind of wait till the Lord, he'll take care of all that. The Lord's taking care of that. It's like when I was growing up, I did something wrong. You know what, though? My mom would say, wait till your dad gets home. Man, I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble, but wait till the Lord shows up. I was my dad, and I got a righteous whipping, and I'm still his dad, but just wait till the Lord shows up. And so I'm getting off on a tangent here, but it's important you understand this. Why? This is great motivation, folks, to know, though, don't take justice in your own hand. We're in an age of grace, there's truth and grace, and we can show folks what's going to happen. Okay, so let's go back to my meeting here. Then he preached deliverance unto the Old Testament saints in paradise. He then took the keys of death, opened the doors to Abraham's bosom, and transferred all inhabitants to heaven. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 12:4. Here we go. 12:4. I thought I have reference here. Let's see here. Maybe I'll put it on here. If I didn't, I apologize. Oh, here we go. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man. No. Here it is. Here it is. Yeah. So here we go. We have paradise, and paradise obviously was Abraham's bosom, but now paradise is in the third heaven. So in the Old Testament, it was downstairs, and now it's upstairs or up in glory. The first heavens, according to Job 35, was where the birds and all the animals fly. The second heaven in Genesis 1:4 and Genesis 1:6, that's where the stars and things really got there. And in the third heaven, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is. It says in Psalms 148, I thought I have it down here, maybe I don't. Psalm 148, 1-2, and 2 Corinthians 12:2, that's where the Lord dwells. He dwells up in the third heaven. So what the Lord did here is his soul went down into the center part of the earth. And what he did is he preached condemnation to all people that were lost. He had those keys, remember Revelation 1, on his girdle, right? So I believe he opened the gate. He probably kicked that gate shut, in my opinion. Boom. You know, for all the people out there, he crossed over down into Abraham's bosom. And you want probably a big meeting going on there. I'm sure that was, can you imagine watching that from the side here after they shut your door with your keys? And there they are, all, hey, there's the Savior, there's the Messiah. Oh, imagine that. You know, sometimes you gotta read between the lines a little bit. That was their redemption. Think about that, right? I mean, we're waiting for ours, the blessed hope in the Old Testament that was theirs. Here comes the Lord. You know, hey, you know, Messiah, you know. And then, you know, okay, guess what? We're now, you know, your sins are down there. Now you're justified, and now up you go. And what's interesting is, look over here. In Matthew 27:52-54, it says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So obviously sleeping there was dying, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into this holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So notice it says the graves after resurrection. So you got to read that carefully. So a lot of times you see on a storybook, you know, he crucified him, earthquake, and then he says, truly, Son of God. But that happened, I believe, after all the 3 days. Can you imagine these graves opening and people walking around town? Think about that. Just think, you know, the news media has this thing called Night of the Living Dead. They weren't like that. These were saints that came out of the grave. Now, were they there for 40 days when the Lord was on earth? And are walking around town. The Lord don't cover much about that. He mentions it here. But they're walking around the city of Jerusalem. You know, hey, there's Uncle Joe. What's he doing over here? You know, a guy just died recently, whatever. Think about that. And that was pretty exciting. You know, though, they feared. I think, you know, the devil tries to imitate Jesus Christ. So close, right? You know, imitators, right? We're followers. He's an imitator, right? You know? And that's where all this Night of Living Dead stuff comes from. You know, these people like this here, you know, walking down, you know, assuming they had to kill them and all that stuff, you know. I think, my opinion, when the rapture comes and we're out of here, maybe we're going to be a slow process out of this grave. I don't know. And like, what's going on here? And you know what, though? And that's where the devil sends strong delusion, right? You know, hey, you know, try and take the truth and believe a lie. It's so close. You know, so close. So that's why this scripture to show you what Jesus Christ did for us in the, between those death on the cross and resurrection. He dumped our sins down there in hell. It's paid for. It says here, or I wrote down here, it says, when a sinner rejects Christ, he has to pay for his own sins in hell because he rejected the payment that has already been made for him, which he didn't need to pay. A lost man will meet his sins where Christ dumped them, in hell. Ain't that sad? If you're the lost man, his sins are already forgiven, paid for, dumped in hell. You just got to accept the free gift. What a sad situation. Those who remember history, Calvin Coolidge, I think he was a president right around the Depression, around 1920, I think it was, Calvin Coolidge. The previous predecessor died. He took office because he was vice president. He was the only president that didn't want a re-election. Very strange thing. He knew what's going on back then. But Calvin Coolidge, probably wrong persuasion, but, you know, Calvin Coolidge, he kept carrying his Bible around. And the news dupes back then, nothing changes, would make fun of him carrying the Bible around. And so finally a news dupe asked President Coolidge, hey, I see you're carrying a Bible around. Can I ask you a question? And he said, yes, sir. And he said, the reporter asked President Coolidge, what does the Bible say about hell? And you know what he answered? A great question. It says you don't have to go there. That's a good answer. That's the very one. Hey, you don't have to go there. Someone break up your sins in hell, pay the price, receive the free gift. Now, and I wish I had time to go into it. I'll give you real brief. Why is this so rejected? And I'll tell you why in just I wish I could go into detail. It's because of covenant theology and Calvinism. They hate this because, you know why? They can't believe Jesus Christ died and paid the sins, you know. So that's why it's fought against in a lot of religious circles. That's why I deny Luke 16. They change because they don't understand the doctrine behind the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's when they can't see that, they kind of just build their own theology. And a lot of people are saved people. So that's between covenant theology and dispensation. Where you can see the Lord finish that amount. Maybe next time I'll cover this a little bit, because if you understand the reason why things are changed, it's good to ask what, where, when, how, right? Right? Those are good questions to ask, because, you know, why are they changing this or doing that? There's always a motive behind it. It's never done for a reason. It's either pride or some money behind it some way. Always some way. And remember, the devil, number one, gimmick. He's religion. He's always just trying to shuffle things around here a little bit here to get you off track. That's why the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. And what he did in those 3 days is absolutely knowledgeable. When you have that kind of knowledge and show scripture, when you tell people that truth, they go, I get it now. I never realized that. The Catholic thinks he went to hell and actually burned down there. They're, you know, they actually believe he went to hell and he burned down there. That didn't burn down there. I mean, and Daniel, he was there with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They could have had a party in there. It ain't going to affect him, the flame. He created that, you know. He dumped our sins in there in condemnation. They went over here and got rid of his folks, and up they went. And 3 days to do that. So they must have had some time down there on all details, but 3 days to go down there. And then think about it. When he rose up again, Mary saw him and goes, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended, right? So he says, hey, whatever, we went up yet. So 3 days down doing that finished work. Get that, folks? Okay. Father in heaven, thank you very much for the scripture. Our opinion is at naught. We have the scripture that you've given us to see what you've done after you've died. It's part of the gospel. And we can have comfort in that, knowing our sins are permanently dumped down there in hell. I'm glad they are. Hallelujah. For as far as the east is from the west, done deal. I like that, Father. Thank you, Father. So I just pray that we can remember that, especially this week. And I pray, Father, we can be a changed, a closer to your image as we think of these things, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you'll remember them. We'll have these scriptures so we can talk to folks that just don't quite understand these things. You give them the truth. Maybe they would come to know thee or would secure their beliefs on what the finished work actually means. So we ask these things in faith believing. In Jesus' name, amen.